It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
Farouk Benesh on three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter, and that's some
Colbert.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Hope you're having an outstanding Tuesday. Looks like, as I glance out of the Shirley Street studio windows here, starting to get some rain. Right about the time I get off work, the weather's going to go bad. Well, nonetheless, we'll have some fun together here. In our hour get-together, we have each weekday. I am your host, Colbert. Tuesday edition of Cole & Company on May 17 of 2022 underway. However you are tuned in, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at the all-new 1650thefan.com, thank you so very much for being here. Also, make sure that you're following us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert, or if you're not on the tweet machine and you're on the Zuckerberg machine a la Facebook, give us a like over there. Like the page. Type in 102.3 1650 The Fan and hammer that like button. Check out that all-new website, 1650thefan.com. It's where you get the podcast of this show. So if you've missed any interviews, perhaps some of the Metro baseball and softball previews we've been doing in the lead-up to those respective seasons, that's where you're going to find them on demand. So bookmark it. Make it a regular stop for yourself on the World Wide Web. Number to dial if you want to join in with any questions or comments, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479. You could also email the show. We have the technology. Questions, comments you'd like to pass along, by all means, fire away. Perhaps you'd like to hear someone or something on a future show, send that along too. Feel free. Email address is cole@1650thefan.com. Coming up, as always, our leadoff hitter, area sports news and scores. Plenty to get to, some exciting stuff happening on the prep sports scene today. And after we get through the stack, we take timeout number one, get you a CBS Sports Flash so that you can then find out what's going on the national sports scene. Also, during that timeout, when we pay the bills, we get you a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Las Vegas so you can know what to wager on. And we also get a forecast from the one and only Megan Mulford for the rest of this Tuesday, looking into Wednesday and Thursday. We come back from that first break, and our buddy Tommy Birch of the Des Moines Register joins the show. Talking all things Cubs. A lot going on with the Cubs today. All sorts of roster moves. Guys getting their first call-ups from the minor leagues. Guys getting called up to the Iowa Cubs. The Iowa Cubs, I'm telling you, they are going to continue to get more and more exciting. I mean, not to say that it's not worth your hard-earned money to go there now, but it's only going to get better. I have a feeling by the time, you know, July rolls around, that team, its entire roster, or nearly its entire roster, is going to just be chock full of legit prospects. You know, guys that are going to be ranking somewhere between 1 and 50 in the Cubs system. And a lot of times you only get a handful of prospects with that Iowa Cubs team. And more so, you know, depth guys who are kind of the quote-unquote 4A players that can't quite make it as full-time major league regulars, but good guys to have as emergency depth. And that's kind of, you know, part of what that roster looks like now. But I'm telling you, just more and more prospects making their way. So plenty to talk about, as well as tipped off by Tommy Burch that Cubs general manager Carter Hawkins is at Principal Park today. So interesting stuff there with the GM in the house. So we'll talk Cubs in the next segment with Tommy Burch after we're done there. We'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. Come back from that break and continue our metro area baseball and softball previews as Waterloo West softball coach Adam Dell joins the show in the third segment. Wahawks looking to bounce back from a tough 2021 season. The cupboard is not bare, though. They've got some underclassmen that have some seasoning now and had quality seasons last year. There's some, you go look at the numbers for that Wahawks team, and you know, you see some of those individual numbers, they don't necessarily marry up with how the win-loss turned out. And I think that just speaks mostly to how competitive, how talented the Mississippi Valley Conference is when it comes to softball. But I think Coach Dell, they're going to see some serious improvement in that win-loss column this year. And we'll find out more about those Wahawks coming up in the third segment of today's show. After we're done hearing from Coach Dell, we'll take the final timeout. That's when you get an NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. Then we'll come back and wrap up the show. So that is the plan, boys and girls. Let's just go ahead and dive right in. The Cedar Falls girls golf team won its Mississippi Valley Conference divisional meet yesterday at Gardner Golf Course in Marion. The Tigers won the Valley Divisional meet with a team score of 349, four strokes better than second-place Cedar Rapids Washington. Cedar Falls was led by Molly Ratchford, who shot an 82. The Tigers also claimed the overall MVC championship with a three-round total of 1,068. Western Dubuque was second in the overall standings. At the Mississippi Divisional meet held at Gates Park here in Waterloo, Dubuque Hempstead finished first. Waterloo West was fourth. And Cedar Falls, Waterloo West, and East will all be participating in Class 4A regional play tomorrow at Irv Warren in Waterloo. The field is set for the 2022 Boys State Golf Meet following district meets yesterday. In a 2A meet held at State Center, Hudson qualified for state following a runner-up performance. Individually, Dyke New Hartford's Carson Costello was the medalist with a 75, and Denver's Clayton Little was the runner-up with a 76. Those two both advanced to state. In another 2A meet held in Carroll, Grundy Center punched its ticket to state and took first with a team score of 302. The Spartans' Dexter Whitehill was the medalist runner-up. The high school baseball season got underway yesterday. In games in the Metro, Cedar Falls swept a doubleheader from Iowa City Liberty. Tigers won by scores of 4-2 and 14-1. Cedar Rapids Xavier swept a doubleheader from Waterloo West, 13-0 and 17-7, and Iowa City West took a pair of games from Waterloo East, blanking the Trojans 10-0 in the double dip. Last night, in boys high school soccer in the Metro, Waterloo Columbus snuck past Postville 2-1 in overtime. Today in Metro sports and boys soccer, Cedar Falls is hosting Cedar Rapids Prairie, and Waterloo West takes on East at Memorial Stadium. Meanwhile, in girls soccer, Cedar Falls travels to Cedar Rapids Prairie. And in baseball doubleheaders, Cedar Falls is at Cedar Rapids Jefferson, Waterloo West plays at Dubuque Wallert, and Waterloo East plays at Western Dubuque. Girls high school tennis regionals continued today across the state. In area matches in Class 2A at Cedar Falls, the Tigers defeated Marshalltown this morning and advanced to the regional championship match against Cedar Rapids Prairie, who defeated Waterloo West. And Cedar Falls defeated Prairie 5-1 to advance to the state tournament. In a Class 1A regional at Burns Park in Waterloo, Waterloo Columbus defeated Grinnell 5-0 and will next play Boone in a regional final on Saturday. Waterloo West girls basketball standout Sahara Williams announced her commitment to Oklahoma earlier today on Twitter. In three seasons as a Wahawk, Williams has started all but one game while helping West reached the state tournament every season. This past season, she averaged 19.7 points, 6.7 rebounds, and 4 assists per game as the Wahawks reached the Class 5A championship game. She chose Oklahoma over multiple other Power 5 offers, including Iowa and Iowa State. Cedar Falls native A.J. Green has given some insight to his future. A 6-foot, 4-inch guard, Green, a 2-time Missouri Valley Conference Player of the Year for the UNI Panthers, entered the transfer portal at the end of the season, or earlier, late winter, early spring, and is also considering entering the NBA draft. He's currently competing in the NBA's G League Elite Camp being held in Chicago, and released on his Facebook page that if he does go back to school, he is talking to both Iowa State and Duke. Meanwhile, hoping to play professionally. Last year, he averaged 21 points per game and led the Missouri Valley Conference in three-pointers made. And finally, the Iowa and Illinois-Chicago baseball teams have mutually agreed to cancel tonight's game that was scheduled to be played in Chicago. The game will not be made up this year, but will be played next year as part of a home-and-home agreement. The Hawkeyes will close out their regular season with a 3-game series at home against Indiana that will take place Thursday through Saturday. Thursday's series opener is set for 6:05. Real quick, before we take this break, just to jump back to the A.J. Green news here. As you might imagine, I continue to get people asking me about A.J., and anybody recalls, A.J. was on the show late last month, and my big takeaway from that, along with other things that I've heard, is A.J. really would like to begin his professional career. And I think anybody out there who remembers A.J. coming on the show that day, I'd be shocked if you didn't come away with the same impression that I had. Like I said, that A.J. really would like to start his professional career. And he told us about talking to Duke. I didn't ask about Iowa State because everybody knows he's talking to Iowa State. Of course he's talking to Iowa State. His dad's there. And now another former coach, and Eric Crawford, is on T.J. Altzberger's staff as well. But the thing to me is, and we got into this a bit in part of the conversation with A.J. when he was on, is that he's not going to play with the ball in his hands as much at the next level. And when we were talking about his workouts and things that he was working on, he made that very clear. When we talked about the specific things that he was trying to improve upon. Catch and shoot, things of that nature, quickening up his release, moving without the basketball. And my thought all along has been, now, albeit, Cyclone fans out there, don't take this the wrong way. T.J. Altzberger's made some great additions this offseason. He's rebuilding that roster once again. I know Gabe Kalscher's back. It looks like Tyrese Hunter is all but gone. But if you have A.J. Green and Gabe Kalscher, and you've got, well, at least one, maybe the other guy you could call a combo guard too, that they've brought in the transfers, the St. Bonaventure guy, and then what, the guy from Temple, is it? A.J. Green would be the ball-dominant guard right now, the way that roster stands, if he goes to Iowa State. So when it comes to playing one more year of college basketball, does A.J. Green want to find himself in a role that he's been in, where he's the ball-dominant guard? Or does he want to find himself in a role that he's more likely to play at the professional level that will help him in terms of the evaluation for NBA scouts? And that role is at Duke, if that spot's still going to be open for him by the time that, you know, he's going to make his mind up. Because that's the other thing that I remember saying day of, nobody's going to rush A.J. Green on this. And some of these coaches that are in the transfer portal, you know, they make a call to somebody and they basically turn, you know, the hourglass over and the sand starts running. And when it's up, it's up. So I think if he goes to Iowa State, it's not so much the connection with his dad. It's the path of getting to an NCAA tournament. He's never played in an NCAA tournament before. Iowa State's path to an NCAA tournament is easier than you and I's. Now, that's a bit of a convoluted issue, but it just is. It just is. And that'd be just fine if that's what he wanted to do. We could all totally understand that. But I think, given the conversations with AJ, that he's most interested in putting himself in position to do the most for his professional career at this point. And to me, that's a Duke, because he would not play with the ball in his hands hardly as much. He would play off the ball, how he would play at the next level as a professional. And he's also said, too, and this, I feel like people forget this, maybe he comes back to you and I. He hasn't ruled that out. Maybe he was just saying it to be a good sport for PR. I can't say for certain, but there's this, well, it's either Iowa State, Duke, or he's going pro. No, he could still come back to you and I. Is it less likely than the others? Maybe, only he knows. But the thing is, there's a lot of people out there thinking that they know what's going on with the AJ Green situation, and they don't. And I don't know too much more than anybody else. A little bit. But I'm basically giving you everything I got. And I like to think that I'm pretty good at finding things out. But AJ keeps a pretty tight circle, and he genuinely hasn't made his mind up. So, Iowa State fans, just be careful about what you're reading out there. He could still end up a Cyclone. But from everything I understand, if he doesn't go pro, which I think is his first, second, and third choice, that he's going to take a long, hard look at Duke if that offer is there. And I think that's the move for him to make. I really do. If he's going to come back and play college basketball. So, wanted to give my two cents on that since we got a little news here on AJ Green. But let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN action update, and a forecast all coming your way. On the other side, we talk all things Cubs with Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
CBS Sports Radio.
Sports Flash.
Also today, I graduated college, but nobody really cares about that.
Nope.
The NBA playoff field is down to four. The Eastern Conference Finals begins tonight in Miami between the Heat and the Celtics. Miami is back in this spot and was the top team in the East this year. The Celtics got off to a slow start, but were terrific since mid-January and finished right behind the Heat. Miami, though, will be without Kyle Lowry. The Celtics' Marcus Smart is questionable with a sprained foot. Robert Williams III is available. The NBA draft lottery is tonight in Chicago. The Rockets, Magic, and Pistons all have a 14% chance at getting that top pick overall. The Stanley Cup playoffs resume with a pair of games to open the second round. The top-seeded Florida Panthers host the two-time defending champion Tampa Bay Lightning. The Blues and Avalanche face off in Colorado as well. Baseball today, bottom of the seventh in L.A. The Dodgers have hit four home runs, one from Trey Turner, another from Justin Turner, and lead the Diamondbacks 6-5. Mookie Betts and Will Smith have also gone deep. Bottom of the seventh in New York, game one of two. Mets in front of the Cardinals by a score of 3-0, while the White Sox blank the Royals today by a score of 3-0. Dylan Cease wins his fourth. I'm Rich Ackerman.
This is Zach Gelb. CBS Sports Radio has moved to SiriusXM Channel 158, or listen to us on your local affiliate. Find your station at odyssey.com/station.
CBS Sports Radio.
Listen to Chicago Cubs baseball tonight on The Fan. Coverage of Cubs Pirates begins at 6:05.
Spring is here, and so are the savings at Tommy's Car Wash in Waterloo. Sign up as a member and download the Tommy Club app today and get the first month free. Tommy's Express Car Wash offers you an experience like no other. You'll enjoy quick, affordable, and endless washes at any Tommy's location. Plus, unlimited washes, skip the line, free mat washes, and vacuums. Tommy's Express Car Wash, fast, friendly, and convenient. Find Tommy's online, on Facebook, or in person on University Avenue in Waterloo.
Pheasant Ridge and Walters Ridge Golf Courses in Cedar Falls has something for everyone. Whether you're looking for challenging play or a par 3 course to work on your short game, Pheasant Ridge and Walters Ridge will get you outside and swinging the clubs. Driving range and golf lessons are also available. You'll find reasonable rates make it affordable for the whole family, with special pricing for students, young adults, and seniors. They also have weekdays available throughout the summer for your group outing or fundraising event, plus a spacious clubhouse to host your dinner or lunch outing. Pheasant Ridge and Walters Ridge Golf Course in Cedar Falls.
There's nothing like hearing the songs you love on local radio, with no subscriptions and no monthly fees. But there's a new bill in Congress that could stop the music. If passed, this bill would tax your local radio station simply to play the music you love. Text LOCAL to 52886 and ask Congress to support local radio stations. Help us keep you connected to the music, local news, weather, and traffic that you need each day. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Heads up, sports bettors. Right now you can try VSiN All Access free for 30 days with no credit card required. Visit VSiN.com/freemonth to sign up now. Here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs underway tonight. The Lightning at the Panthers in the East. Tampa Bay plus 140. Money line, Florida minus 160. 6.5 the total. In the West, the Blues at plus 180 at the Avalanche at minus 220. The over-under at 6.5. Kentucky Derby winner Rich Strike will not compete in this weekend's Preakness Stakes, meaning there will be no Triple Crown winner this year. Epicenter, the plus 125 favorite at Pimlico, early voting plus 350, and Secret Oath plus 400. The Cubs, after blanking the Pirates 9-0 in Game 1 of the series, a minus 140 moneyline favorite in Game 2, Pittsburgh plus 127 the total. White Sox, meanwhile, minus 175 at the Royals in Game 1 of a doubleheader.
I'm Trey Westerberg, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows around 56, winds out of the east 8 to 15 miles an hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 73. Cloudy, partly cloudy tomorrow night, 54. Chance for scattered rain showers Thursday and Friday. Low 80s Thursday, upper 60s by Friday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 68.
Cole & Company with Colbert on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company, and a big win for the Cubs last night, 9-0. You heard it right here on The Fan. They beat division rival Pittsburgh. Wade Miley was outstanding with seven innings of shutout baseball. We'll talk about that among many Cubs-related items with the one and only Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register, who joins us now. You follow him on Twitter, at Tommy Burch. Tommy, how you doing today, man? Welcome back to the show.
I'm doing good. I'm just hanging out at the park right now.
Yeah, so big news is that Cubs general manager Carter Hawkins is in the house. So what's the hard-hitting questions that you're lining up for the new, I think we can still call him the new GM?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different things. I think kind of the biggest thing when it comes to what's surrounding the Iowa Cubs right now is Brad Caleb-Killian with how well he is pitching and just what's he got to do left, you know, still have to do to, I guess, take that next jump and get that chance to pitch in Chicago. I think that's the thing a lot of people around the Cubs organization are wondering about right now.
A lot of Cubs pitching prospects, not necessarily during the Theo era, but before then, came through Des Moines. And Tommy, you've seen that plenty of times, seen what it takes out of guys to be able to make the jump. What do your trained eyes tell you about Caleb Killian and how ready he might be for the jump to the big leagues?
Yeah, he looks sharp. I mean, he's probably got to be just a little bit more efficient. He's not quite at the point where he's going deep into ball games. But part of that is a combination of things. One, they just don't want him to. They've kept a pretty tight pitch count on him. And then two, it's just like I said before, probably needs to be a little bit more efficient where he's getting hitters out earlier in the count and he's finishing off hitters too, where, you know, you see it pretty often where he jumps ahead of guys 0-2, 1-2, and then just can't quite finish off that bat. So I think a combination of both those things and probably just experience, just a little bit more time to fine-tune that stuff and get ready so when he goes up, it's not a back-and-forth thing. He's up there for good.
And if I'm not mistaken, isn't he maybe just a little bit of a late bloomer in terms of shooting up the prospect rankings as it relates to his age? And then also, too, just in terms of how his stuff has ticked up as well since, you know, just before the Cubs acquired him in the Chris Bryant trade last year.
Sure, yeah. I mean, he's had good stuff, but, you know, his stock really soared at the end of last season when obviously it was a part of the Chris Bryant trade, but then when he pitched in the Arizona Fall League Championship game and just was absolutely dominant, I think that's when a lot of eyes really opened up to Caleb Killian and his skill set. So I would say kind of the end of last year and then the start of this year with how well he's pitched has just really led to him kind of moving up the prospect rankings and really catching the attention of a lot of people who hope to see him really soon in the big leagues.
Tommy, I would never tell you how to do your job, but my question. My question for Carter Hawkins would be, okay, we've seen some aggressive promotions of guys from, you know, low A to high A, high A to double A, double A to triple A. How long until that basically dominoes itself into the big league roster? And I think we got our first taste of that today with Chris Morrell, a utility guy who was somewhere in the teens in the prospect rankings for the Cubs. And then I want to say, is it Brandon Hughes, a left-handed reliever, getting called up today as well from double A, if I'm not mistaken? It makes me wonder, Tommy, just how different the Cubs' 26-man roster could look in mid to late August than it does as we sit here today on May 17th.
Yeah, I think it could very well look very different. I think that's what we've kind of been expecting for a while between the trade deadline and then kind of blossoming of some of these prospects. You know, I would say the only exception is, and I think a lot of people assume Brendan Davis would be one of those guys that would be up and be contributing sometime in that conversation late in the year. That just doesn't appear to be headed that way right now between how he has played and the fact that he is on the injured list right now. But yeah, come that time, I would say kind of by the time that the Chicago Cubs arrive in Dyersville for that Field of Dreams game,
yeah,
it could look drastically different than what you're looking at right now, too, where, you know, man, yeah, you have a lot of guys that are on that roster, too, that are kind of just there to help you get to that point where some of these prospects and some of these younger players are ready to contribute.
Tommy Burch, Des Moines Register, our guest right now on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company, talking all things Cubs, Iowa Cubs, Chicago Cubs, and down even further levels in the farm system. When it comes, Tommy, to talking about how different the roster could look post-trade deadline, they certainly don't have the trade chips like they had last year. That goes without saying. So who are the one or two guys? I don't think there's more than that. Will be able to bring considerable return, because it's one thing to say, okay, they're going to turn over the roster, but I mean, you got to get, if you're going to give up something, you'd like to be able to get something. I don't know. Do you package some guys together? I mean, who do you think they can actually get some pieces back for?
Now, obviously the big names are Wilson Contreras and Kyle Hendricks, but then, you know, I think that's part of the deal when they made some of these other moves, you know, signing guys like Clint Frazier and Andrelton Simmons. I think the idea was like, okay, we're going to take a flyer on these guys, see what they can do, and if they end up putting together, you know, a good start to the season, maybe we can package them. So I think guys like that maybe are kind of the biggest ones. Maybe a guy like Wade Miley, who I don't know what your long-term plans are with him and, you know, when you're expecting to kind of move all those ships into the middle of the table and say, okay, we're ready to compete. It's the time that we're going to try to win a championship. I don't know if his timeline with the team kind of lines up with what the team's idea is. So I think that could make somebody like him a potential candidate as well.
I think it's going to be really compelling how Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins maneuver with the roster around the trade deadline. I'm glad you brought up Clint Frazier. He's on a rehab assignment now in Iowa.
Yeah, right now Clint Frazier is here, and then we're expecting David Bodie to be here semi-soon as well, potentially tomorrow. So the Cubs are going to have some roster moves that they're going to have to make, you know, in the next week or so, depending on how those guys swing by and how they feel.
The thing with Clint Frazier, obviously the reason the Cubs took a chance on him, he had other offers, is because organizations still think there's the talent there to crack into that made him a top prospect. But, Tommy, how in the hell do you find out if he's still got it, if he's on the major league roster and he's starting every third day? I'm sure Clint Frazier doesn't want to play in AAA, but then again, therein lies the rub, where I sit here as a Cubs fan and go, well, how do you know what you got unless you're running him out there nearly every day?
Yeah, and I think that's part of the predicament, too, where, look, you're trying to put a good product on the field. You know, I don't think the Cubs are in full tank mode quite yet. I think they're kind of in this weird spot, kind of like we've talked about with the Minnesota Twins in the past, where they can figure out, like, okay, are we in rebuild mode or are we going for it? I don't think the the Cubs are definitely kind of in that driver's seat of we're going for it, but they aren't in full teardown mode quite yet. I think they're more in kind of rebuild mode. So I think that's what kind of adds to maybe the oddity of the situation as well.
Few more minutes here with Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register talking Cubs baseball on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. Tommy, as I mentioned early, the two call-ups today, lefty relieving prospect Brandon Hughes and then Christopher Morel, a utility guy who can play basically just about anywhere. Let's start with Christopher Morel, who I know got a cup of coffee last year in Des Moines with the iCubs. What can you tell us and, you know, how excited should Cubs fans be about the opportunity to watch this young guy?
Yeah, I mean, Morel's a really interesting guy, obviously. He's on the 40-man. He was in the offseason. He's the guy that got some playing time a little bit here last year. He's an infielder. He's gotten some time in the outfield, too, mostly in Double-A, and just a really good athlete. Showed he has some pop with the bat as well. So, and then kind of time was kind of ticking when it came for a guy like Morel, where I think he's been around in the system for a little bit, and I think the Cubs were kind of at a point, too, where they're like, okay, he's on the 40-man, he's raking in Double-A, let's see what he can do and figure it out where, you know what type of prospect is he really? So I think that's a great opportunity for him. It's going to be really interesting to see what the plan is for him because, like we had said before, the Cubs roster is going to undergo some big-time moves here in the next week or so.
I would also, Tommy, I would ask Carter Hawkins, the GM. I would be like, dude, what are you doing with Jason Hayward? Seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I can ask that too. You know, Cole, I'm taking notes here.
No, man, you've earned so much equity with the Cubs franchise. If you listen to me, you'll ruin it all in one day, and then we won't get any of the good stuff that we count on when you come on the show, man.
Yeah, I don't know if that's 100% true in terms of the good equity, but we'll go with that.
All right. Hey, real quick, the Iowa native, Bryce Ball, I had seen that Double-A, where he's at right now, just called up a first baseman from High A. Have you gotten any indication that the Iowa native, Bryce Ball, might be headed to Des Moines soon?
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me just based off of what he's done at Double-A. You know, he's hit really, really well. I would say the only thing that's kind of surprising and maybe what would kind of hold that up is, well, a couple of things. One, the Cubs have Jared Young, who's playing first base and playing really, really well. They've tried to get him some reps in the outfield, too. But also, Bryce Ball's power numbers just probably aren't quite where they want him to be. You know, he was a huge power hitter, you know, in high school, college, you know, coming up early in the system with the Atlanta Braves before they traded him per the Jock Peterson deal. So that could be one of the things that maybe holds him back a little bit longer is where they want to see kind of more pop out of that.
You think Fox Sports would like a redo on who's playing in Dyersville?
I wouldn't mind that. I'm the one that's got to go cover that.
Why wouldn't they just do Cubs White Sox? Instead, we're playing Cubs White Sox games when it's still 45 degrees outside.
Well, and I think they had to get that Reds angle in just for the tie-in to the 1919 World Series, but I don't think they had to get a tie to the 1919 World Series, but I think they wanted one.
All right. Well, maybe
I feel the same way.
Yeah. Well, that's all that really matters is we share the brain on things that make sense, Tommy. All right. Great stuff, man. I know you're swamped over there. Tell Carter I said hello. And we'll talk again soon.
Just say Cole says hello. He'll know what that means.
Of course he will. I know he's a listener.
We all are.
Exactly. Tommy, great stuff, man. Take care.
Thanks for having me.
Tommy Burch, Des Moines Register, kind enough to join us on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. And, yeah, man, I know, talking about this a little bit at the top of the show here with the Cubs, it's going to be an interesting next few weeks because there is a massive roster crunch coming up with this team right now. Just the way their 40-man roster is positioned. You know, I know we got a lot of Cardinals fans out there that listen to the show. The Cubs are not like Tommy said, they're not tanking. They've got some guys that look ready to go in terms of call-ups. You know, what's Jason Hayward still doing on the roster? Will he still be on the roster after this huge roster crunch that I mentioned really comes to pass? Because there are so many guys on the injured list, and when those guys come back off, you know, you got to make some tough decisions. And they were able to delay a lot of those decisions, whether it be injuries or some guys having some options and other guys not having options coming out of spring training. But I'm fascinated to see how it all shakes out. And what's great, too, is, you know, the Iowa Cubs, I think, are going to be a beneficiary of it. I think Iowa Cubs baseball, for those who, you know, feel compelled to spend their hard-earned money on, you know, the cost of fuel to go from the Cedar Valley for a weekend in Des Moines and decide that among the things you're going to spend your hard-earned dollars on is an Iowa Cubs game, I think you're going to get the return on your investment, particularly coming up in another month or so. Not to say that it's a bad ticket right now, but I think it's going to be a pretty deep, not necessarily like epic headline talent in terms of the Anthony Rizzo's, Chris Bryant's, Javi Baez of years past, but just 1 through 26 on that Iowa Cubs roster, I think it's going to be maybe as deep of an iCubs team as we've seen in a number of years. I mean, if not decades. So it'll be interesting to see how that translates into wins and losses. That's always so hard to predict in the minor leagues as it relates to the quote-unquote talent that's on a roster. But fascinating stuff, like usual, from Tommy Burch. And very interesting that new Cubs general manager Carter Hawkins in the house today at Principal Park in Des Moines. So I know Tommy will have some great Cubs coverage to read later on after speaking with the GM at DesMoinesRegister.com. Make sure you follow Tommy on Twitter at Tommy Burch. All right, let's take this next time out. Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim coming up. On the other side of the break, we continue our metro area baseball and softball previews. The baseball season got started last night, and softball begins next week. Waterloo West softball coach Adam Dell joins us next on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. Iowa assistant basketball coach Courtney Eldridge feels the experience he gained with the Hawkeye program prepared him to become a full-time assistant. Iowa coach Fran McCaffrey elevated Eldridge to replace Billy Taylor, who was named the new head coach at Elon. Eldridge spent the past 3 years as director of recruiting and player development, and prior to that was the video coordinator.
The COVID waiver that the NCAA passed, so, you know, two non-coaching members were able to get on the court, it just helped my trajectory, you know, tremendously. And it just gave me, you know, the experience and opportunities that, you know, I might not have had, you know, had we not been in a pandemic.
Baseball, the Iowa Cubs continue a two-week homestand tonight by opening a series against Columbus. In the Midwest League, the Quad Cities are on the road at Dayton. Cedar Rapids plays host to Lake County. Todd Kim, Radio Iowa Sports.
Why? Just think about it. Why is the number one selling brand of chainsaws not sold at Lowe's or the Home Depot? We can give you over 10,000 reasons. That's how many authorized local steel dealers you can find across the country. Visit one and you'll find a range of dependable gas and battery-powered tools, from trimmers to blowers. And you'll find service from experienced professionals. Real steel. Find yours at steelusa.com. Lowe's and Home Depot are trademarks of their respective companies.
Just three words tell you everything you need to know. They tell you why we employ more than 2,000 workers at our factory in Virginia Beach, and why over 10,000 local steel dealers are putting battery power in the hands of Americans. Just three words. Made in America. Real steel. Find yours at steelusa.com. The majority of steel products sold in America are made in America of U.S. and foreign materials. Batteries and chargers are sourced internationally.
Love your home with City Builders, offering composite windows, the most energy efficient window made in America. City Builders also carries their exclusive luxury bath systems done in a day. City Builders' state-of-the-art showroom featuring all of their products and experts to help make the remodeling process easy. Experience quality products with quality installation. Love your home with City Builders. Visit their showroom today at 2009 Center Street, Cedar Falls, or call 277-4000.
The 40th annual My Waterloo Days is coming up June 6th through the 12th. I'm Main Street Waterloo Director Jessica Rucker. Join us for We Are Waterloo, a celebration of our history, diversity, and progress. You'll enjoy live music, the Family Fun Zone, vendors, and entertainment inspiring pride in Waterloo. Volunteers are also needed for this community-wide event. Find the schedule and learn more at mywaterloodays.org. Join us for My Waterloo Days, We Are Waterloo, June 6th through the 12th.
Bust it.
It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show, with Cole Bear on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of Cole and Company. And once again, we continue on with our metro area baseball and softball previews. Baseball season already underway. That got going last night. So we are wrapping things up in the metro with our softball previews. And we are joined today by Waterloo West softball coach Adam Dell. Coach Dell, thanks so much for joining the show. Good to be talking to you again. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to learning more about your Wahawk team. You bring a lot of talent back, but just like anybody else, you've got some seniors to replace. I suppose first things first, how's practice been going?
Practice has been going really well. We've kind of had to squeeze it in between some rain, and we had a little bit of a cold snap that first week, but luckily we had the indoor facility to work on our hitting, and the weather this week seems to want to cooperate, so we're starting to get some things done outside.
Obviously, last season didn't go the way that anybody wanted, and would have loved to get some more wins, and certainly that's what you're working toward this year, so just makes me think, Coach Dell, what do you know about how your Wahawks were able to get some work in during the off season? Because as much as I know I advocate for, and it seems like thankfully a lot of people continue to advocate for playing multiple sports, that's true. But at the same time, if you want to keep up with the Joneses, you got to put in some off-season work as well.
Correct. So we did a couple things different this year that we implemented that we were not doing last year. We did some pool workouts before school that ran about 10 weeks. And the girls did various things from swinging bats underwater to just working their muscles. We added in an off-season weightlifting program. Some of them are able to do that in their strength and conditioning class at school, and then some did it after school. We hit twice a week starting in November, and then we pitched starting in January.
What was the inspiration for doing the workouts in the pool? Where'd you get that from?
Our assistant coach, Nate Chapsky, he did that with a group of boys a couple years ago and saw some good results with their cardio, with their strength, with just trying to take a little bit of that stress off their muscles by doing it in the water. So just kind of a different take, and the girls seem to enjoy it.
That's fascinating. Waterloo West softball coach Adam Dell, our guest right now on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. Having gotten a decent body of work so far in practices leading up to this season, Coach, anything in particular sticking out about your group, whether it be on the field or maybe more off the field related?
Yeah, I think this group this year has put a really good emphasis on defense. We're a little bit quicker, I think, a little bit more athletic than we were last year. So I'm hoping that transitions into less runs, a little bit more support for our pitching staff. And then there are pitching staff. We return everybody but one girl from last year, and the majority of our innings are back. So I'm really anxious to see that step that they take forward this year. I think Naya Christoffers took a huge step forward last year, and we're really hoping she can take that same kind of leap forward again this year and kind of anchor that staff.
Yeah, Naya Christoffer, your leader in terms of innings pitched back this season, as you mentioned, Coach. So what have you and the staff challenged her with that you're hoping helps her turn the corner and raise her production?
Yeah, we really worked on sharpening her pitches. And then we worked on a new pitch for her that she did not throw last year that seems to move a little bit more. And we're hoping that that kind of continues and she can find a groove with that pitch that gives her another weapon. You know, these hitters in our conference, they're pretty merciless. So anything we can do to kind of throw them off balance, move the ball, locate it better, you know, any of that kind of stuff, I think will help her.
And how about Bailey Shepsky? She was really good, both in the batter's box and in the circle for you last year as a freshman. But as it relates to her in the circle, what are you looking for out of her? What have you challenged her with?
Same kind of thing. We sharpened up her curveball a little bit, and I think just maybe taking that confidence that she gained last year pitching and moving forward and kind of building momentum with that coming into this season.
And how about just her overall as a player? I mean, what an outstanding freshman season that she had. How are you going to challenge her just all around with her game? And where besides, you know, outside of the circle, are you hoping that she contributes?
Yeah, she's a big bat. She's actually the one returning player that's, you know, I think her slugging percentage was 5-something, mm-hmm. 540. So she's the one that can put the ball out of the ballpark. So basically just kind of keeping her doing what she's doing. Her dad's on the staff too, and he works a lot with her about just keeping her weight back and driving the ball, getting some lift on it, getting it out of the park. We're hoping that'll translate into some more extra base hits.
You're replacing 5 seniors, many of them big contributors to last year's team. So certainly I would imagine there's some fierce competition that's been going on in practice for some spots that are likely to be open.
Right. Really, every spot's open so far. We still haven't kind of closed it out. So a lot of different faces this year, and we'll see a lot of different kids get some time just to kind of prove themselves. But there's a strong junior class. Actually all of them played last year on the varsity. So kind of looking for that junior class to take a step forward and kind of clear up some of these spots and claim them for themselves, and hopefully that translates into more wins.
What's it like for you and your staff when, you know, you want fierce competition for these spots that are open, while at the same time, I mean, you don't want that to chip away at all when it comes to team camaraderie?
Right. This group has been great.
Good.
You know, I don't see any of that kind of, I don't want to call them cliques, but, you know, sometimes kids will separate off into different kind of groups that they're comfortable with. And so this group really hangs out together. You know, they take turns playing in their spots. They move when we ask them to move. Nobody complains. We kind of just tell them, you know, if you want more playing time, you need to be able to play multiple spots. We can move you around and find you some at bat.
Are you anticipating getting some contributions like last season from some underclassmen?
Yeah, we have a couple of sophomore pitchers that I think are going to take a step forward. Jersey Van Arum, I think, will be a contributor with the pitching staff. And Alyssa Bagney, she's a freshman, so I botched her grade there. But, yeah, we're looking for both of those two to step forward. And then we've got 2 eighth graders that I think will make a difference this year. Freddie Dell and Addison Shopsky, both. I look for both of them to contribute too.
And, you know, we've talked about your pitching staff. You've spoken, Coach Dell, about how you think the defense will be better, and talked a little bit about Bailey and her tools both in the circle and in the batter's box. But overall, your lineup, as it goes from top to bottom, how would you characterize your lineup in terms of what's going to be the blueprint for this Wahawk lineup to produce as many runs as it can?
Yeah, I think last year we worked a lot on going the other way with the ball. And then this year we got a little more in-depth with the inside, outside, and kind of where we want to make contact, where we want to get extensions, you know, letting the ball travel, and then stop rolling over on everything. You know, we did a lot of that last year. I think it's a kind of a sign of immaturity where they'll get out in front of pitches and kind of roll their wrists and drive it into the ground. We've really focused on getting that ball in the air this year, and I'm hoping that that turns into more gap shots and more home runs.
Season opener next Tuesday at Waterloo East. Start right out of the gate with your rival. What do you know about this matchup that'll begin your season against the Trojans?
Yeah, Chad's always got a tough team over there, so we never take them lightly. I think, you know, even if we were the number one team and they didn't win any games, I don't think you ever take East lightly when you play them. So I guess just kind of staying within ourselves, play our game, and I'm pretty sure that should translate into to good results.
Coach Dell, thanks so much for your time. As always, really enjoyed learning about your team. Best of luck, best of health to everyone, and we'll catch up down the road, hopefully after your squad's racked up a whole bunch of W's.
Hey, thanks a bunch. I appreciate it.
I'm Kayla Burton with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Could Drew Brees be the next superstar QB to unretire? Well, the conversation started quickly when Brees tweeted this Sunday evening. Quote, despite speculation from media about my future this fall, I'm currently undecided. I may work for NBC. I may play football again. I may focus on business and philanthropy. I may train for the pickleball tour, senior golf tour, coach my kids, or all of the above. I'll let you know. Saints head coach Dennis Allen said Monday that he believes it was a comment made in jest that they haven't had any conversations in that regard. The Packers and cornerback Jair Alexander, they have agreed on a 4-year, $84 million extension. The deal makes Alexander now the highest paid corner, averaging $21 million per year. Also, NFL officials are scheduled to meet with Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson in Texas this week. Watson faces 22 civil lawsuits alleging sexual assault and misconduct stemming from massage therapy sessions. Watson has denied all wrongdoing. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
We hear it everywhere. It's hard to get a new product in almost every industry. I'm Chris Fink with Tubbs R Us, and I have some great news. We have new QCA spas in a variety of colors and styles in stock right now. At Tubbs R Us, you'll get free delivery, plus the lid, lifter, and chemicals you need to enjoy your spa. Stop in today, and you could be relaxing in your new QCA spa right away. We're Tubbs R Us on the corner of Ainsboro and Falls Avenue in Waterloo.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. The Eastern Conference Finals tips off tonight at 8:30 Eastern. But the matchup between the Heat and the Celtics isn't the only NBA event that could have an impact on the future of the league. The NBA will also host its draft lottery tonight. The NBA differs from many professional sports leagues. Being the worst team in basketball doesn't guarantee you the top pick. 2011, the Cavs had less than a 3% chance to land the first overall pick. The lottery landed in their favor. Cleveland was able to take Kyrie Irving, number one overall. The selection eventually helped the Cavs secure Cleveland's first championship in over 52 years. In 2008, the Bulls had similar luck. Chicago moved up eight spots and selected future MVP Derrick Rose. No one knows where the ping pong balls will fall tonight, but if you're a fan of a team with a lottery pick, you may want to tune in, because when it comes to the lottery, no team is ever truly out on landing a franchise-changing talent. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Everyone in golf says they're number one at something. But when Odyssey says they're the number one putter on tour, I don't think anybody can argue. Odyssey, the number one putter on every major tour in 2021. Number one in worldwide wins. At the last 37 major championships across PGA, LPGA, and Champions Tours, not only did more pros play an Odyssey putter in those majors, but more pros won more majors in 2021 with an Odyssey. See what makes Odyssey the number one putter on tour at odysseygolf.com. And now a message from Discover about customer service and common sense. When you have credit card questions, it's nice to have them answered by a real live person. You know, a human being who's actually understanding your issues and works to resolve them. Someone with a knack for helping others and has a pulse. In other words, what you don't need is a robot. And that's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. It's live customer service. Discover. Exceptionally common sense.
Cole and Company. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan mobile app and streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
A lot of ways to listen, however you do it. Thank you so very much. Coverage of the 2022 High School State Track and Field Championships later this week here on The Fan, brought to you in part by Bo Jorgensen Farm Bureau, Bill Caldwell Ford, Cavalli Insurance, City Builders, Johnston Financial, Ars Redemption, Peterson Hudson Hardware Plumbing and Heating, Hanson's Dairy, First Maxfield Mutual Insurance, Waterloo Community Schools, L&N Transportation, and Odell Collision Center. On behalf of just some of our great sponsors, best of luck to the metro and area athletes competing later this week at State Track. Cubs baseball coming up at 6:05. Thanks to Tommy Birch and Adam Dell. That's a wrap.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.